Technology has made the world a smaller place, but there is still so much we do not know. Every week, Postcards takes you on a trip of exploration and discovery. From a small village in Afghanistan to a protected cultural heritage site in South America. From Africa's amazing natural landscapes to the most advanced tech displays in the world, Postcards. Where you meet the world without actually taking a trip. Postcards.
Hello and welcome to Postcards, a show which takes you across borders without actually leaving home. I'm Wen Jie. Forget the traditional showstopper wedding and the classic meringue dress. There's a growing trend among LA brides to do it their own way. A new wave of indie brides are seeking out bespoke gowns that are made just for them. Here's Bridget Grace with this postcard from the United States.
Bride-to-be Rachel Brenwen is doing it her way. She's one of a growing number of brides who don't want to conform to social expectations with big traditional weddings. Instead, these so-called indie brides want a dress and a wedding that reflects their own personalities. Brenwen is trying on gowns at designer Shireen Mitchell's studio in Los Angeles. Mitchell's 6,000-square-foot warehouse space on the outskirts of downtown LA, called Shireen Downtown, is the go-to place for the indie gown. Mitchell designs and alters gowns to create the perfect one-of-a-kind experience. She says the millennial and Generation X bride is more confident and independent than previous generations. Many shun the idea of a church or hotel wedding, preferring theirs to be authentic and original, even if it's in the backyard.
Indie bride just means independent. So it's really the wedding of the independent young woman. The reason why it's happened is because we had a crash of our economy. And when an economy crashes, the beauty of it is it forces originality. It forces people to authenticity. And there's really it's kind of cool in a way because it makes us more loving, more honest, and it simplifies life. It also makes us more oriented to family, and it also makes us more oriented to being two, because two is better than one when there's no money.
Shireen Downtown was previously called Shireen Vintage, but she changed the name because she didn't want to give the impression that she only sold old-style dresses. Instead, she modernizes pre-worn gowns to individual taste with an army of seamstresses. Mitchell says today's brides don't want to cover up as their mothers did and prefer to show more skin in flowing fabrics such as silk, satin and chiffon. She says the average budget today for the indie gown is around $1,400 US, and the bride is involved in the design process.
A lot of girls of this generation look at the bridal thing and kind of go like, ew, I don't want that. I don't want all of that cookie cutter, kind of overdone, trying too hard. They're not that girl. I mean, if you think about it, it's even in our technology. You know, everyone is making their own. You program everything yourself today, right? Well, these girls, it's because they want it to come from here. They don't want it imposed on them. They don't want anything imposed upon them. They want to choose from their center.
Kyle Brown, executive director of the Bridal Association of America, helps the wedding industry to grow its business and plans weddings. He says brides today are doing more research and choosing the services they really want. The Bridal Association of America says the average wedding today costs around $27,000 US. But Brown says indie weddings tend to be smaller affairs and are planned using social media.
Our bride and groom right now is on Facebook. They look at reviews. They look at information in that respect. The bride of 2018, 2019, 2020, they don't even use Facebook hardly. They use Snapchat. They use Instagram. They use Tumblr. So to keep on top of the trends and what's going on, and reaching your brides and trying to get them the information you want to, you definitely have to stay on top of social media and on what's going on. And you have to get the reviews from your current bride and groom because they are your recommendation.
Rachel Branwen, editor of Slush Pile magazine, is having her wedding outdoors in a field in Northern California, followed by a barn dance reception.
To a certain extent, I feel like we're redefining the whole experience of marriage. You know, we saw what our parents did. Often it didn't seem to work out. And so, you know, we're picking partners later. We're putting our priorities in different places, less on the actual big party wedding and more on the life together.
Teresa Riva just wanted an indie wedding of her own.
I didn't want something that was overly done up. I didn't want something that was too ruffly, too sparkly. I wanted something that was beautiful, that really celebrated my body and my individual flavor and style. So for me, indie is unique and authentic, but also very celebratory of my figure and my assets and my beauty and my body.
Lacey Calhoun never wanted a big wedding and has opted for a simple, intimate ceremony in the backyard of her California home.
We are having it in our backyard because it's where we've built our family and it's where we're building all of our memories, and that's what it's about to us. Simplicity, no frills, no lace, no crazy decor, no gift bags and party favors and photo booths. It's just us and the ones we love the most, our friends and our family.
You're listening to Postcards, a weekly program on events and life stories taking place in different parts of the world. You can listen to our show at newsplusradio.cn. Smartphone game Pokemon Go has taken the world by storm, turning parks into Pokestops and landmarks into highly priced Poke Gyms. But where next for the augmented reality trend? Father.io claims to be the world's first real-life multiplayer first-person shooter and turns the whole world into a giant game of laser tag. Here's Nick Lanigan with this postcard from the United States.
It's the stuff of gamers' dreams. Laser tag has been transported from dimly lit buildings and thrust into the real world, where all a potential champion needs in their holster is a smartphone. Father.io by Proxy42 claims to be the world's first real-life multiplayer first-person shooter. While Activision's multi-million-selling first-person shooter Call of Duty has kept gamers firmly rooted to their sofas for decades, Father.io ushers them into the real world. All sharpshooters need is this keychain-sized interceptor, which includes two high-frequency emitters and six infrared sensors, allowing gamers to shoot up to 50 meters away. It pairs to smartphones via Bluetooth. Craig Allen is Proxy 42's Creative Strategy Director.
Father.io is really exciting because it's the world's first massively multiplayer action game that's set in the real world. So using a specialized device that we're calling the Inceptor, you can pair it up with your mobile phone and basically play laser tag anywhere in the world with you and your friends, turning our real world into a playground.
Father.io's game modes include small local battles, capture the flag scenarios, and even a massive multiplayer match, which allows players to interact with more than 12 million real-world locations. Different buildings even have an impact on the game, controlling an area with a university grants a research boost, while a pharmacy or hospital means faster recuperation. Developers say even aerial drones can be customized to take part. Allen says it's an exciting time to be in gaming.
In the gaming industry, we've gone through many different kind of platform changes where we have different kinds of consoles or different kinds of PC computing power upgrades. This is really a whole different way to experience gaming, because instead of being in your office or in the living room, we're leaving your walled environment and being able to play in any space that you want to take your mobile phone.
This may sound familiar. While Father.io began life back in 2014, well before the Pokemon Go craze began, it can't help but share some popular aspects with Niantic Inc.'s popular creation. Pokemon Go players roam streets and buildings holding up their mobile phones and following a digital map to catch creatures that appear on their screens. It is reported to be the biggest US mobile game ever, and within 24 hours of launch had outstripped popular apps such as Twitter and location-based dating app Tinder to become number one app in the US App Store's top grossing. Computer games expert John Hicks says that now Pokemon Go has grown so popular from seemingly simple tech, others will be hoping to follow in its footsteps.
The fascinating thing about all this stuff is that this is not particularly new tech. Like, phones have had cameras for ages, they've had GPS for ages, we're used to having smartphones. But and the kind of the AR tech is not radical, but very few people have had cause to actually use them in this way before, kind of use their phones like this before. And now that Pokemon's proven that it's doable, it's interesting, it's fun, Father.io is going to take a swing at it, and I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands, of games being spun up at the moment to capitalise on this.
But emulating what's arguably the most popular game in the world right now is no mean feat. Hicks says Niantic Labs, formerly a part of Google, was able to inherit a much-loved media franchise with an already expectant fan base.
Lots of game companies will be going after Pokemon Go. Like, the mobile gaming market particularly is absolutely murderous. You know, that at the moment something's a success, a million clones come along. The trick will be, and I think the trick might be impossible, is to be able to deliver something of that scale and that is as enjoyable as Pokemon. Like,
in April 2016, Proxy42 completed a successful crowdfunding campaign for Father.io on website Indiegogo, raising more than $390,000, around 650% of the original target. Having given a limited number of keen gamers the chance to test a beta version of the app, they now intend to begin shipments this summer. Alan says they've been enjoying the increased attention since Pokemon Go took the globe by storm.
Now that people are playing Pokemon Go, they're socializing, they're seeing the value of using your mobile phone as a window into an alternative reality, we're getting a big uptick in interest on our group as well, because basically there's not many of us out there that have been working underneath the hood while everybody's been looking at VR or virtual reality. Augmented reality or mixed reality, I think, is really what is much more accessible for everyone.
Everywhere you look today, China is in the news. But what about the lives behind the stories? How do ordinary Chinese live and work? And does everyone here do kung fu? Life in China answers the questions in your mind when you think of China. Over a billion people and as many stories from all over this vast land. Life in China, bringing you all you need to know about the real Chinese living here in China.
You're listening to Postcards, a weekly program on events and life stories taking place in different parts of the world. You can listen to our show at newsplusradio.cn. Consumers in Indonesia now have access to a mobile application that allows them to choose sustainable seafood products. Working together with retailers and restaurants, the app is intended to educate people about the importance of making careful choices to protect Indonesia's oceans. Here's Stories 1 with this postcard from Indonesia.
Seafood is a mainstay of the Indonesian diet. Not surprising considering the nation is made up of at least 13,000 islands. However, its rich marine resources are under threat from overfishing and illegal fishing practices. For consumers, sourcing sustainable and eco-friendly seafood products can be a difficult process. But many stores, like Fish & Blues, are now signing up to programs that support ethically sourced seafood, giving the consumer more choice. The seafood retailer is listed on a new application designed by the World Wildlife Fund, or WWF, in Indonesia. A recent WWF Living Blue Planet report found the world has lost almost 50% of edible fish species since 1970 to 2015. The Seafood Advisory Guide is only available on mobile devices, mainly because people take their phones shopping with them. The application recommends which fish species meet acceptable environmental standards. There is a 3 light traffic guide system of red, green, and yellow. When a fish is listed with a red color, it indicates the population is in danger or considered a protected species, so the consumer is recommended not to buy or consume it. If it's yellow, it means the fish population is declining, so the consumer is recommended to reconsider buying or consuming the fish. Green indicates the fish population is in good condition, and it tells the consumer it's okay to buy them. WWF Indonesia believes it's important for seafood retailers and restaurants to work with the Seafood Advisory Guide to help educate customers. Dwi Arayo Tjipto Handono is Marine and Fisheries Campaign Coordinator at WWF Indonesia.
Our goal of developing this application is to decrease pressure on fisheries or on sustainable fishing.
Fish & Blues has been marketing itself as an eco-friendly seafood distributor since 2014 and joined the Seafood Advisory app in April 2016. It caters mostly for commercial operators in Jakarta and Bali. To source eco-friendly seafood, Fish & Blues cooperates with WWF-trained fishermen. It also puts information on the packaging about the origin of the fish and how it was caught. Rangi Fajar Maharam is the CEO of Fish & Blues. He hopes the app can help expand the awareness of eco-friendly seafood.
Semakin tinggi awareness dari konsumen akan untuk mengkonsumsi seafood ramah lingkungan.
The greater the consumer's awareness of consuming eco-friendly seafood, the more likely it is that Indonesia's sustainable fisheries will be preserved.
One of the company's customers is French-Moroccan restaurant Le Monde au Balcon in Jakarta. Since the restaurant opened in 2014, owner and chef Nabil Jagdor has committed to serve only eco-friendly seafood products. While it costs more, Jagdor says it is also better quality. As a chef and a diver, Jagdor has a great awareness of how important it is to protect the marine ecosystem.
It is important for me as a professional. I think that we need to be leaders in showing other people that we need to care about our planet, our oceans, just in order, you know, to not destroy everything.
7 months after the launch, WWF Indonesia says the advisory seafood guide has been downloaded 100,000 times. The organization continues to improve the features, including recipes, to attract more seafood lovers. Many of the diners at Jagdor's restaurant like the idea of being warned and educated about the sustainability of their meal. Trevor Smith is a customer.
I think that's a very good idea to raise people's awareness for what is available for sustainable fish and what is at risk, because very few people have got that knowledge.
WWF Indonesia continues to invite shops, restaurants, and hotels around Indonesia to participate in the Seafood Advisory Guide. For them to participate, they must document the origin of their seafood products.
Melalui aplikasi ini, konsumen yang pengguna bisa meminta kepada
When there are changes in fishing methods in the future, with this application, we expect consumers to request the retailers or restaurants to serve better seafood that is being produced in an eco-friendly environment. We want to guide the changes in demand through this app.
You're listening to Postcards, a weekly program on events and life stories taking place in different parts of the world. You can listen to our show at newsplusradio.cn. The melting Arctic sea ice is opening areas of the ocean that used to be impossible to reach. And our appetite for fish is making fishermen sail ever further north to meet demand. But the environmental organization Greenpeace says fishing in these waters is putting fragile sea life in danger. Before we come to the end of today's show, I would like to share with you an extra postcard from Norway. In the Arctic, sea life has largely lived uninterrupted from humans. But as climate change causes the Arctic glaciers to melt, the waters are opening up and brimming with cod and other fish. Large fishing vessels are coming to these waters near the Norwegian archipelago of Svalbard to trawl the bottom of the ocean. The UK imports more than 100,000 tons of cod each year, and the melting ice allows fishermen to steer their ships closer to the North Pole than ever before to meet the demand. Greenpeace, a non-profit environmental organization, claims that the large fishing trawlers are putting the fragile Arctic ecosystem at risk. The Greenpeace vessel, called the Arctic Sunrise, floats on the sea surface. Inside, Greenpeace activists research and document what effects the melting ice has on the wildlife. This is both done from the sky and beneath the surface. The crew sinks equipment with cameras into the waters and lets it drop 200 meters before it reaches the seabed. According to Greenpeace, there's now evidence that ecosystems like this coral reef are being damaged daily in the Arctic. The more accessible waters in the north are spurring on fishing fleets to seize the opportunity and catch a proper haul. Greenpeace uses drones equipped with cameras to view the trawlers and determine what gear they use to catch the fish. The Arctic Sunrise is searching for a Kirkella, a British trawler and one of the biggest on the sea. Greenpeace Captain Mike Finken hopes that Kirkella's crew will inform Greenpeace about their fishing plans. When the trawler begins to haul, 40 tons of cod end up in Kirkella's hold, according to Greenpeace. There's not much left on the sea flood after a trawler has dragged his net through the place. The horizontal lines are the tracks from the net gear. Carl Safina is a marine biologist.
The seafloor is a complex place. There are a lot of things living above it. There are hard corals, and they may be many centuries old until the day that a net just snaps them off, and then that's it for centuries, even if the nets don't come back. So here there is a chance to get it right.
The fishing industry is aware of the risks. Some of Britain's leading retailers and some of the largest fishing companies in the world have agreed a deal to protect parts of the Arctic. Daniela Montelto is from Greenpeace.
The Norwegian government has a very clear responsibility to make sure that there is protection of the areas that are vulnerable and that are opening up. There is a new ocean that is emerging, and what the ice used to protect is now, in a way, up for grabs if we let it happen.
Carl Safina adds,
no one is saying no fishing. We're just saying not everywhere and not unlimited.
These Arctic waters face an uncertain future. The deal struck by the industry is only temporary so far, and there are no permanent laws in place to protect these rich areas of the ocean. With that, we wrap up today's postcards. Your comments, suggestions, or questions are always appreciated, and you can contact us via email at postcards@cri.com.cn. For program producer Zhao Jianfu, I'm Wen Jie. See you next week.